This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Happy, right? Fireworks, 4th of July. Are you into it? When you think of how many fireworks are used on the 4th of July, it's just weeks away, people. Have you made your plans? There's other kind of fireworks that are going off around the country, but I'm talking about the cool stuff, the eye candy that we just ooh and ah about and talk about. Or, I don't know, maybe you don't leave the cave and you watch it on the tube, because certainly there are ways to do that. But you hear some of it going off in the neighborhood. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. It's like I was thinking about it. Why do we set off fireworks on the 4th of July? Well, what is the answer? Of course, a big holiday. Americans shoot off fireworks to celebrate our independence. You think of the Declaration of Independence and the Continental Congress in 1776, and that was the deal. And so, historically speaking, you might not be thinking about it while you're looking at the 4th of July and the picnics and everything else, but certainly that's what it was part of. And there are some spectacular places to see 4th of July fireworks in Washington, D.C., they always have great fireworks. Or in New York, Macy's pumps a ton of money into that fireworks show that they do. And you can watch that one on the tube. But maybe in your local hood, they have a pretty good one where they paint the sky. And for me, I'm in a new spot in our satellite facility in the Tampa St. Pete area, so I understand you have to get 8 o'clock. You must get there at 8 o'clock in the morning if you're going to have any chance to look up into the sky and marvel at what you see on the beach. So I'm thinking boat. You get on a boat and you watch it from the other direction. I did that once in California when I got out of school and I was in California, and I thought it was so awesome to see the other side of it, to be on a boat and you're watching it, and it's so quiet, just so quiet on the water and dark. But then the sky, you look up in the sky and that's what you're seeing, and you're realizing you're missing the crowds because you just got to dock. You just got to get in and then you got to dock. So wherever you are celebrating, have fun with it. I love fireworks. I know there's people who do not like fireworks, but to light up the sky like that and to have that chance to think about it, I don't know, to me, all the colors and the mixes of it and what the finale looks like and the boom sound and, you know, all that. I mean, always since I've been a kid, I have loved fireworks. All right, fireworks of a different sort. Sadly, a couple of crazy things happening around these United States, and one of the things that happened was three people were critically injured. A taxi cab hit a cyclist, swerved onto a Manhattan sidewalk and into a group of people who were walking. You know, if you've ever been a passenger in a taxi in New York, it is frightening. Like, from the airport, I'm serious. It is like you are on a thrill ride the way that they drive, because that's the city. That's how it is. It's that hurry up and smash on the brakes. But somehow, it doesn't seem like there's many accidents. So I was kind of surprised to hear that. And that's terrible that that happened, because it was right in the middle of the day, right around lunchtime, like 1 o'clock, where you have a lot of tourists, a lot of people walking around. This is, the summertime when kids are out of school and that kind of stuff is happening where people are visiting. And unfortunately, you know, a few people were in the wrong place at the wrong time. It could have been a lot more people. Fireworks of a different sort, just so sad what happened in Uvalde. We all agree, we all know it, it's terrible. Well, the parents of the victims of that Robb Elementary School shooting and other members of the community of Uvalde, of course, I'm not surprised by this, want the resignation of the school district police chief, Pete Arredondo. They had a meeting at a school board meeting on Monday night. It was really super emotional. It's about a month since that attack happened, and 19 students and two teachers were killed. And they were, the people in the crowd were saying things like, having him still employed, knowing he is incapable of decision making that saves lives is terrifying. And saying innocence doesn't hide, innocence doesn't change its story, but innocence did die on May 24th. These were a couple of the comments that were tweeted out that were said about what happened. And of course, by now you know that law enforcement officers responded to the shooting, and they waited 77 minutes in the hallway outside of the classroom containing the gunman. And after the incident, people believe the situation had transitioned. This is what Arredondo said, from an active shooter to a barricaded subject. And, you know, we've heard the stories since then. Now we're seeing pictures of what the hallway looked like. And it's very depressing to see that because you see a lot of firepower there in an empty hallway and just some officers standing there just waiting, and all the hesitation. I cannot imagine that he survives this and stays. You know, a typical meeting in a place like Uvalde for a school board meeting, you'd have maybe 15 minutes for public comments, but it was much different on Monday because people wanted their say. Some of them parents who lost children. And I can't imagine, especially with what's being released, that he you know, doesn't resign, or he's not fired, I guess. Fired would be the other side of that if he decides he's not gonna do that. All right, other things that are trending or being talked about, and certainly one of the things that we know that we talk about, and I always talk about this at the top of the show because you always send me memes, funny things about it, or tell me how expensive it is and the pain that you are feeling and what you're doing to try to combat it, is gasoline. And we've got holidays, you know, more holidays coming up, just going through Father's Day, Juneteenth, which was a federal holiday. People had off, and people were trapped in airports because of that mess with the airlines, with not enough pilots in some cases, weather snafus, other things that contributed to that. But the other thing people are talking about, of course, is gasoline. So the president said on Monday that he could make a decision as soon as this week on whether to support Congress instituting a pause on the federal gas tax of 18.4 cents a gallon, which means you would pay a little less than 15 cents per gallon if that happens. Cross your fingers, because at least it's something, right?
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
Is B.A. Writer. Bloodline Chronicles is the name of his book. We had a great off-air conversation about things that I've actually now been thinking about as I'm taking walks in a new place at night. So, B.A., thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me about the road to writing the Bloodline Chronicles.
Oh, man, it was... I tried several different things. Years ago, it was a comic, and then I found myself drawing it one day, and I remembered back in middle school, I think it was about sixth grade, we were tasked with writing a short story, and I slapped a story together about a dinosaur that went haywire on an island, and I got a standing ovation at the end of it all. We had to stand up and read our story to the classroom or whatever. Well, then me remembering all that, that plus me figuring out that, hey, it took 2 seconds for me to write The Sun Came Up versus drawing it. I took all that and I just started writing a book, man. Over time, it just got more and more serious.
So then you write a book, and the book Bloodline Chronicles, tell us about that. What's the story about?
A couple, it's a Bonnie and Clyde supernatural where a couple go on the run from an oppressive organization with their 5-year-old kid. And while they are running to freedom, they're having to dwell with battles within themselves, their counterparts, along with each other. And it's suspenseful from beginning to end. It offers hope, just random moments of clarity, things that we would normally overlook in our everyday lives are prominent in this story, like the people you love or having balance within oneself. So it's a story about perseverance.
Yeah, and when you say it's a story about perseverance, we're talking about hundreds of enormous asteroids bombarding the Earth. killing thousands of helpless people. So it is about survival.
It is, very much indeed.
And what I find interesting is, you know, you talk about it and you say it right in the very beginning, that look at our galaxy. Billions of rocks make up our galaxy. So, this is what I was saying in my walk. How could they not collide? And, of course,
right.
We're talking about the Earth's moon. And so then you think about the moon and you think about the force of the moon and you really dive into this. How'd you come up with all of it?
It was... I did a whole lot of research. I did on the lunar effects that the moon itself has on the Earth. Just the Purkinje effect. I'm not even sure if I'm saying that right, but like the colors, how we all see colors is a reflection through our solar atmosphere. So like I was learning so much. And then I just put it all together. I was like, well, that would be cool if that happened. Is that scientifically possible? And Google was my friend.
I like that. Google was my friend. And then you've got this Isaac, you know, and what is Isaac, who's the main guy, one of the main characters, what's Isaac like?
Isaac is brute force. He is alpha male. He's a man's man. He wants to provide for his own, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to do that. He'd rather do what's right rather than what's easy. I mean, he'll throw the first punch.
If he has to.
Yeah. He does.
Yeah. When people read Bloodline Chronicles, which you can get on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold, what do you hope they take away from reading your novel?
As I stated before, just be aware, be at one with yourself, be at peace. I wish everyone to find balance. Find balance within yourself. You know, and every day will be a walk in the park, you know, or somewhere close to it. You know, if you know yourself more than anyone else can, you will never be able to get put outside of your comfort zone. You know what I mean? Like, just be comfortable with who you are, basically.
Yeah, that's great advice. Hashtag find balance. So you had such a good time doing this book. It's out there in the world. Will you write another one?
Yes, actually, this book is set up to be the origin story of why what's about to happen next happened. So, yeah, this is pretty much a look back.
Ooh, well, we can't wait to see what comes up in the next one. Continued success with this. B.A. Ryder, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. I would also like to say rest in peace to a really good friend of mine, Joseph Demetrius Richardson. Michi, we miss you and we love you. Kate, I thank you very much for having me on your show.
Thanks, B.A. Couple of final thoughts here on some things that are happening in the world. We thank him for that. It's funny. It is something you think about. You know, you keep hearing about what's in the sky, and certainly there have been movies that have exaggerated it, but it's interesting to see novels that explore it, I think. It's just a fascinating thing to me. So, speaking of space, the space station swerved to avoid debris from a Russian missile test. Yeah, so you wonder where that stuff goes, right? The International Space Station last week had to dodge debris. And last Thursday, Russia's space agency utilized a cargo ship that was docked at ISS to push the station away from some space debris that came from the destruction of a defunct Soviet-era satellite in a missile test last November. So how about that? You wonder, how long can it survive? And that's what happened. A predetermined debris avoidance maneuver is what they call it. A PDAM. How about that? You just learned something. PDAM, that's what it is. And they, so they had to do it. And just confirmed that that's what happened, that there was an unscheduled maneuver to avoid a dangerous approach of the International Space Station with a fragment of the Cosmos 1408 spacecraft. That's what it was called. You never know, right? It's up there in the sky, and you never, ever know. You never know what is going to touch somebody's heart. And I thought this was interesting. Nobel Peace Prize winner Dmitry Muratov, who is an editor-in-chief of an influential Russian newspaper, posed for a picture next to his 23-carat gold medal before it was auctioned at the Times Center. He was auctioning off the Nobel Peace Prize that he got to raise money for Ukrainian child refugees. It sold on Monday night for, are you ready for this, $103.5 million. And, of course, that shatters an old record for Nobel. You know, if you go back, just as a curiosity, the most that was ever paid for a Nobel Prize medal was in 2014. James Watson, whose co-discovery of the structure of DNA earned him that prize in 1962, sold his medal for $4.76 million. How about that? But this is a whole different thing. It was World Refugee Day. This was for Ukrainian child refugees. So people opened up the bidding that could afford it. And that is a pretty big price tag. He's saying that the proceeds go directly to UNICEF because they're helping children displaced by the war in Ukraine. Melted down, the 175 grams of 23-carat gold contained in the metal would actually be worth about $10,000, right? But he said he was really concerned about children who were orphaned because of that conflict, and he said it's important. We want to return their future, and he said it's important international sanctions levied against Russia don't prevent humanitarian aid like medicine for rare diseases, bone marrow transplants from reaching the people that really, really need it, and the kids really need help. So he wanted to jump in and do what he could do. So he left Russia for Western Europe last week to start his trip to, you know, New York City, and did the live bidding, of course, on Monday afternoon, and it was the perfect time for that. The high bid was $550,000, and the purchase price was spiraling upward, but over $100 million. Wow. You got to think about it. There's about 1,000 Nobel Prizes that are out there. Physics, chemistry, medicine, literature, since it started in 1901. All for a good cause. Stay with us.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Close to 1,200 U.S. flights were canceled between Sunday and Monday, with thousands more scrapped across the world. Airline analysts say delays and cancellations are likely to persist. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, whose own flight was canceled over the weekend, told the Associated Press he is pushing the airlines to stress test their summer schedules to make sure they can operate all their planned flights with the employees they have. Georgia's Secretary of State set to testify Tuesday as the 1-6 committee resumes public hearings. Brad Raffensperger, his deputy Gabe Sterling, and Arizona State House Speaker Rusty Bowers are the key witnesses as the committee focuses on how former President Trump and his allies pressured officials in key battleground states to overturn election results in his favor. Trump called Raffensperger, asking him to find more votes in his favor. This is USA Radio News. Six people were injured in the Big Apple when a taxi jumped a curb and crashed into a group of pedestrians Monday afternoon. Two women were pinned underneath the vehicle, then in what one police official called a remarkable scene, at least a dozen Good Samaritans tried to lift the cap off a couple of the victims. WABC-TV spoke to one of those Samaritans, Garrett Orpin.
It was shocking and, you know, traumatizing. Quickly, you're just kind of shaking and reacting, and we were getting ice and taking, like, aprons out. We got a belt off of somebody to provide a tourniquet, so we just, like, you know, dive in and help.
The 60-year-old cab driver who remained at the scene suffered minor injuries. Police did not suspect any criminality in the incident. He's thinking about it, but President Biden says he will decide at week's end whether he would support a holiday on the federal gas tax. Suspending the tax could save as much as 18.4 cents a gallon. The average gas price, according to AAA, is now hovering below $5 a gallon. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Robert Dustin joins us this time around at Author's Corner. The name of his book is Project 19. Think terrorist attacks carried out by fanatical type people, zealots, that kind of stuff. And that's part of the story in a sense. I don't want to give it all away. I'm going to let Robert tell you all about it in his own words. Robert, thanks so much for popping on.
Okay, you're welcome.
So let's talk about the book and what Project 19 is. Tell us about the story.
Well, the story actually arose out of a whole series of events, well, basically out of my whole lifetime. But anyway, let's go to the idea of the story. First of all, it is actually it's several stories wrapped together, one of which is a perfectly feasible massive ransom attack on basically on the planet by people who are very wealthy, but obviously they want more than they've already got and decide to get more. That was the first thing, and the attack was made by the use of an artificial virus, man-produced virus, which was meant to terrify the world into enabling this crew to do a very large job on the stock exchanges of the world to make a millions amount of money. And the weapon used was this virus, and the subjects of people died. A lot of people died during the attack, and they thought they were really under attack by an actual epidemic, or a pandemic, as it was going to become. That's very strange. We should have one now. But it was going to happen, and people died, and the people in the story just happened to have got involved indirectly initially and were able to, bit by bit, to defeat this plan. And it happens in various ways. There's a whole lot of stories all happening at once. personal stories, and the actual tale itself, which is, and I must stress this, everything in the book could actually happen. It's all possible scientifically. Is that
so for you in doing this story, I mean, it's interesting you say, look what's happening now, and with your background, what you know, what kind of research went into this? Because then you have characters and talking about what the possibility is and taking different stories. What was it like putting this book together?
Well, originally, putting it together was, it was, again, a long-term thing. I was always a storyteller right from the time I was very young. I used to tell my kids stories. And, in fact, my upbringing was purely, I was a reader. I was reading books by the time I was 4 years old. And I just devoured books my whole life. And I got to love words and writing. And then I tried doing it myself later on as an extension and a way of expressing what I was thinking about how life was unfolding. I grew up just post-Second World War in a world that was a very different place. And my upbringing was one. My mother was an English school teacher. My father was a soil microbiologist. And consequently, I was surrounded by information all the time, both literary and also scientific. And consequently, I developed an interest in these things. And the ideas for this came out of knowledge gained over a lot of years and a lot of thoughts and things which had occurred in my own life. And consequently, the story came out and I began to put it together. It wasn't the first thing I'd written, but it was the first attempt at a full-length novel. And it began to come out and I started putting it together. And like many things, it got put down for a while. And my wife discovered it on the computer and she said, "You better finish this, you know." one follows one's instructions usually from that angle. And I went to work on it. And not only that, there was some pressure. At the time, I was in the process of going blind. And I wanted to finish it while I could still have letters about a foot high on the computer screen to work from. And I managed to do that. So that in a nutshell is a little bit of it, but there's more to it than that. There's the story itself, but there's also reflections and observations on personal experiences and how I see relationships between people, friendships, loyalty, cooperation, and people who try to, if you like, muck in and do the right thing. And this was a story about that happening, and I meant it to be the first of several. In fact, the second book's on its way, which is a rather different thing.
And you talk about relationships, because you've had these relationships all, I mean, you've lived all over the world, right? So you're taking us on this adventure. How much of that gets dumped into your novel? I would think, as you said, that it has to be in there because you've observed people in different languages even.
Yes, I have lived at a number of different places. And also, I have had a number of different relationships. This is not, well, the good lady you spoke to is not my first wife. And I'm not going to give you any numbers because that would be a giveaway. But the point is, I have been looking throughout life to try and find answers. And a lot of this came, again, from my background and upbringing. And one of the things that my parents, and I thank them for this indirectly and from a distance now, is that while I was growing up, I was never told what I had to believe. I was told where to look to find out what to believe or what to choose to believe. I was never forced into a political box or a religious box or in any kind of box in that way. And consequently, I was able to search for myself. And that's possibly why it came out the way it did.
What do you hope people take away from reading Project 19?
I hope they take away another view of life, because there is the big story around the whole thing is that it's a story about greed. Greed is the driving motive for the plan in the first place. And it is a lesson. I have found throughout my life that a lot goes on which you're not quite aware of, but then suddenly will impinge upon you. You think that that if you behave honorably and correctly, for example, within a job, if you're loyal to your company and you're loyal to your boss and you're loyal to your company, that they will take care of you. Well, I discovered after a while that that is not quite what happens, and as a lot of people find out in their lives anyway. And I come to the conclusion at this, my advanced age, that most of what happens in most people's lives is not directed by them, but by forces outside them. And I was hoping that this book would make people a little bit more aware of that.
Right, because you talk about forces outside of yourself in the book, what happens and how the response is and what happens in connections with people and loyalty and all that plays a part in it, because who do you trust when there's billions of dollars and lots of lives at stake, right?
Well, yes. Well, basically, there's a gun being pointed at someone's head somewhere that you may or may not be able to do something about. And, you know, there are all these things going on all the time. And I think, you know, the sad thing is that most people are not fully aware of the fact that their lives are being run rather than they're running their own lives. There's a big difference between the two things. And growing awareness of that is important. And not only that, the age that I grew up in, we did not have social media, or as I call them, anti-social media, because it was all books. It was books and radio and conversation and observation. And you were not controlled or dictated to or manipulated as much then. Don't forget, we had just moved post-Second World War from a time when there was the most massive series of terrible disruptions, in particularly in Europe, or in fact with the world itself, where there had been dictators of very and horrible groups of them. There was the big one. There was Adolf. There was Joseph Stalin. There was Mussolini. There was General Franco. There were, and you can name them all over the planet. When manipulation had been of people, whole masses of people had been taking place, and enormous numbers of people had paid the very highest price for this. I only got to mention the Holocaust to mention one of the high prices paid. And in fact, this manipulation is a cycle within history. And in fact, the second book has got a lot to do with this, because this is not only true probably here, but elsewhere, wherever there is any civilized life, there's a cycle which goes through where control and death and fighting and corruption and all these things happen, when in fact people could really quite easily be a lot happier than they are.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Does that make any sense?
It completely makes sense. I'm thinking to myself what people have been talking about with social media and the narrative that they're fed versus, as you described, you had conversation, you listened to radio, you read books, and you were certainly raised where you were taught to have your own mind, to make up your own mind, and you weren't told you have to think this way or you have to look at things this way. And this is very much at play of what I think what we're seeing in the world today. And that's why Project 19 and subsequently your next book are incredibly significant. And I think it's amazing. And there's something about the fact that you finished this right before you went blind. And congratulations on the book. And I hope everyone picks it up. Robert, thanks for coming on.
You're most welcome.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original Pure Pau D'Arco and drink Super Tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We take you to England for a conversation with Amanda Tweed, and she's written a book that I think can pull so many people out of the very, very depths that they might be feeling that they're trapped in right now. And in fact, that's the name of her book, Trapped by the Devil. She's got a pen name, Kate Spencer. Amanda, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about your story. What happened to you?
So for 15 years, I'd suffered domestic abuse, substance misuse, mental health, homelessness, and 50 convictions in and out of prison for shoplifting to fund my enormous drug addiction. This story, I didn't think there was a way out because drug addiction is, it's a very low and very lonely place to be. You can be surrounded by a lot of people, but it's a very, very lonely place to be. And I had such a transformation. I had an overnight transformation that stunned not only me, but it stunned everybody around me. And that is the reason for writing this book, is because I understand that drug addiction is something that cannot really be explained. That there's a lot of stigma around substance misuse. It can't really be explained, and so a drug addict, well, I'll speak for myself. I certainly found it very difficult to express myself to others because it's sort of like, well, if you don't want to take the drugs, don't pick them up. Don't pick them up. But it's a very compelling, very strong force from within, and it appears to take over the person. I believe that writing the book is to touch the heart of somebody that may be going through drug addiction or somebody who has a loved one going through it, just to bring some understanding around the subject.
And the story, too, in the story, you talk about drug addiction and what it was like and how it had a hold of you. There's that other part of it. It's the homelessness. How desperate does that feel to feel like you are just spinning and you have nowhere to go?
Yeah. The homelessness side, it was something I'd never experienced. It was something I certainly hadn't thought of before I went down that path. But again, I recall walking the streets of London, England at 3 o'clock in the morning, looking for dealers to buy crack cocaine, because that would be my companion until it was early hours when everybody else, the rest of the world, had woken up, because crack cocaine is that type of drug that keeps you awake. And most of the time, the homelessness side of it for me was, it wasn't so much a sleeping in doorways, it was more sofa surfing. And you, as long as you had money to buy drugs, or as long as you had drugs, then another addict, of course, they would allow you to sleep on their sofa. So homelessness, loneliness, I don't think loneliness cuts it, Kate. It's absolute devastation. From that point of view, it was absolute devastation.
So then you talk about, and again, we're speaking with Amanda Tweed, and her pen name, when you look the book up, is Kate Spencer on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. The book is called Trapped by the Devil. So how did you free yourself? What happened that changed everything?
When I was on drugs, I think it was something like 4 years into drug addiction, I remember having a moment where I wanted to end my life. I said, I'd lost two grandmothers in the space of 6 weeks. And I remember sitting down and contemplating suicide. I said, this is it. I can't do this no more. This cannot continue. But there was a very gentle voice from within, which I now know was intuition, that said, is life really that bad? And I said, yes, yes. So I'm having an internal dialogue with myself. And the gentle voice said, well, really, is your life really that bad? So what would you change, apart from the obvious, the drug addiction? If you look back at life, what would you change? And I started to wander back with my mind, and I looked at circumstances when I was a child and when I was a young teenager where I thought the world was going to come to an end. And I realized that it didn't. The problems, there was always a solution, or if there wasn't a solution, it dissolved. And more importantly, it was the people that I'd met on that journey and the circumstances and the events that had this quote-unquote mistake hadn't have happened, or this thing that I didn't want had happened, I would never have had that experience. So I kind of talked myself out of suicide. But then I started to use my imagination. And it was a spontaneous thing, and it was as if a vision was tapping me on the shoulder, and I saw myself being free and just having everything that I ever wanted in life, which to me was normality, which was getting up at a decent time in the morning and going to provide a service and have a loving husband and all of these things. But of course, that dream was trapped within, and I held on to it, and it just kept me going until the 26th of January 2011. I was on my 50th prison sentence, and I was discharged from prison into a supported accommodation. I went into the supported accommodation as a drug addict, as a thief, as a liar, as somebody who manipulated their self through life, with mental health problems, with all of the packages. And I went to bed that night, and when I woke up the next day, my whole life had completely changed. I didn't know anything about drugs. I didn't know anything about mental health. I knew nothing. And this was 11 years ago. And when you look back, you can connect the dots, and success does leave clues. And I come to realize that my experience was from a very low emotional state of consciousness, I was catapulted into Christ consciousness, where everything was perfect. There was no problems, knew nothing about drug addiction. I stayed in that state of consciousness for about 3 days. Within those 3 days, my body completely healed. I had a prolapsed womb. I had sciatica. I couldn't walk straight. There was at least, I looked at least 10, 15 years older than what I actually was. All of that transformed. And then I found myself in a state of courageousness. And it was from that state of courageousness that I was able to go off and achieve my dreams, my biggest dreams.
Wow. So tell us about those dreams. What happened? What changed after that amazing couple of days and what you found?
Yes. Of course, Kate, the body had to catch up. So I was still shoplifting. And it was in the middle of the shoplifting. I stopped and said, why am I doing this? And then there was sort of a memory, a misty, foggy memory of drug addiction. I said, but where's it gone? I'm not an addict anymore. And so I was like, oh, my God, what's happened? So I remember contacting my mum and speaking to a friend. And I said, I know this is going to sound crazy, but was I a drug addict or was it a dream? And they was ready to start to make referrals to mental health, thinking that, oh, my God, Amanda, this is not right. And I was very fortunate that I fell into the hands of a mentor. She was the service provider for the supported accommodation, but she was also a life coach, a mentor, and she became my mentor. And within 12 months, I'd become a self-employed Zumba fitness instructor. I was given my first car by my mentor, and I'd met my partner, who I'm still with today. And I was working actually at the supported accommodation as a volunteer, learning all of doing all the training to run supported accommodation. So in 12 months, quite a lot had happened, and it just kept on evolving. Things just got bigger and better from there.
So when people read Trapped by the Devil, what do you hope they take away?
Definitely inspiration, and definitely hope, and empowerment to know that whatever, really, 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 whatever it is that we say that we want, that whatever happiness looks like, because that is the ultimate goal. The ultimate freedom goal is happiness. And whatever happiness looks like, go after it. You are worthy. I know that the feeling sometimes of, you know, we can't do it, or we shouldn't do it, or why should we do it? As long as you're not hurting yourself or anybody else, there is no reason why you should not go after your biggest and best dream and be and do who you were created to be and do.
Perfect place to end this. Pick up the book, Trapped by the Devil. Kate Spencer is the pen name, Amanda Tweed. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you, Ken.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.